This first session is so important that what I would like to do, for all those that are not here, it won't be here till Monday, I would like for you to raise your hand. That's usually a little test to see if you're listening. We have a really wonderful week this week. Every school that we have ever had has been kind of special. Some of them have even developed names. We haven't named this particular school yet, but I'm sure as we get along and get into it that somebody will give it a name. What I'd like to do in this first session is to really try to help you understand what evangelization is all about. One of the misconceptions of evangelization is that people will come to learn some wisdom so they can go and beat somebody over the head with it. That's not what this school is about. What you will learn this week is about yourself, that evangelization can never grow farther than yourself. And in you, when you are evangelized, your light will begin to shine so bright that others will want what you've got and they will come knocking on your door. You do not have to go knocking on their door. If we've got a bright light shining in a dull, dark world, people will seek out the light. Amen. So what approach that I would like to take is in this first session is reading Scripture as the Word of God, because one of my great horrors as Catholic was getting into Scripture. Father Smith, as he was introducing me to this new life in the Spirit, or this life in the Spirit, this wonderful revelation that there's more to church than what I have experienced, as he began to minister to me, he told me that I needed to read Scripture. There's a lot of books out today about reading Scripture, or you need to read Scripture. A lot of people that read Scripture two or three times a day, or at least once a day. And so I began to try to read Scripture, and as I would read it, all it would do is frustrate me. It didn't make any sense to me at all. I couldn't imagine, as I would read this, how the Scriptures could help me at all. I said, these are a bunch of screwed up people that I'm reading about. I mean, they were fighting one another, and there was incest, and there was this, and there was that, and then they was, you know, nailing Jesus to a cross. I said, it just never made any sense to me. I had a very difficult time reading it until I discovered this little book. Father Smith insisted that I read Scripture, and so I would read it. I was in Freeport, Louisiana. And I was speaking to a prayer group there, and when I finished the prayer group, a lady brought this book to me, and she said, you really need to read this. And I said, wow, what a compliment. After my talk, I need to read this. So I'm not a reader. I don't like to read. I've never liked to read. My mother used to beat me to read. And you imagine the kind of an attitude you develop when you're forced to do something you just don't like to do anyhow. So I never developed an attitude of reading. So reading is not one of my great joys. And I didn't look at the book. I took it because I wanted to be kind to her. And I told her I would read it knowing that I was lying. But I took it anyhow, and I couldn't get rid of the book. It was kind of like, you know, I would come home, and if there would be by my bed, I would get in the airplane, and it would be like laying on the seat. I would open my briefcase. It would be in my briefcase. It just kind of followed me around for months. And one day I said, Lord, would you like me to read that book? And he said, I think it would be a good idea. And I picked it up and I started reading and I got to page 6. Now remember, Father Smith insisted that I read Scripture. So I got to page 6 and I read this. This is a paragraph, one of two paragraphs that I'm going to read to you. Please don't come up to me after the session and ask me, where did you get the book? I want to order one. I'm going to explain the whole book to you in two paragraphs. You can't sell two paragraphs for $15, so they write a lot more to go with it. You got to write a lot to sell. You can't sell two paragraphs for $15. And that's about all that's in here that really means anything. The rest of it's good stuff. But this really hit home for me when I read this. We should be warned. This is a warning. Alert. We should be warned. By the way, this book is Catholic. And it has an imprimatur. And it's approved for teaching in the Roman Catholic Church. It's a teaching tool. We should be warned that the Bible is not a book of magic. By itself, it cannot change your life no matter how much you read it. Isn't that sweet? Here Father Smith said, read the Bible. And the book says, no matter how much you read it, it won't change it. And I thought, what's the use of reading it? What's the use of reading this? I mean, the Catholics are screwed up from here to there. And I mean, some of us will tell us to read it, and the books say don't read it because if you read it, it ain't going to do nothing for you. I mean, it's like a confusing situation for me. Thank God I didn't throw the book down until I read the next sentence. And it says this. It can, however, be a means whereby the same Holy Spirit that inspired the authors of Scripture will inspire us. In other words, the Holy Spirit that wrote through the writers of Scripture will inspire us. And it says here, not only inspire us to understand what we read, but empower us. The same Holy Spirit that spoke through Paul, that same Holy Spirit lives in me. The same Holy Spirit that lives in the Pope when he writes on spiritual matters, that same Holy Spirit lives in me. And if I can read the Scriptures, two things will happen. I will be inspired, and I will be empowered. The Scriptures are to empower us, to inspire us. I didn't know that. I kind of read the book like it was something that happened 7,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago, and the relevance of it today, we just read it because we're supposed to read it. I didn't know that it would have some kind of an effect on me, because I never realized that the people that wrote this thing were no different than you and I. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit. They were empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. The same Spirit that wrote the Scripture is the same Spirit that will inspire and empower us. Amen. Isn't that good? It kind of helps the situation a little bit. I said, wow, that ain't too bad. I can be inspired, and I can be empowered. So, and I read on, and it says this. What is sacred for us about sacred Scripture is that through the words of Scripture, we can listen to the voice of God. In other words, when I pick up the Scriptures, God, the inspiration of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the empowerment of God that was written through men as they lived the life of God, as they experienced God, that same Holy Spirit living in me can be empowered as God speaks to me, not to you. To me. You know what I discovered in this? You know I can't read the Bible for you. You know I can't. I've had people call me up and said, God spoke to me this morning and told me to give you Luke 13:22. I said, wrong. He didn't tell you no such of a thing. If you read Luke 13:32, it's for you. I got all the scripture I can handle today. But it's amazing how we like to, we just love to read scripture and then look at somebody else that's really having a problem and say, boy, this will solve their problem. No, it's to solve my problem. Scriptures are going to solve my problem. They're going to empower me. It's what it says here. It will empower me and inspire me. And as I read the sacred scriptures, as though the scriptures were, it says, and that through listening and obeying the Word of God, we can be transformed into the image of God. As I listen to these inspired words, as I listen to these words of empowerment, I can be transformed. I can be transformed into the image that God made me. Now, there's two things that I've got to do to be transformed. First of all, I have to listen and I have to obey. Without listening and obeying, there is no transformation. There is no empowerment. There is no inspiration. If you're reading it like it was written to the Jews 2,000 years ago, you'll miss the mark. It was written for today. God is the same today as He was yesterday. He'll be the same forever. The Word of God is for us today. It is to inspire us today. It's to empower us today. But we have to listen and what? Obey. Y'all excited about it too, weren't you? God is going to speak, and we're all excited about it. I'm going to tell you, we hate it. When God starts talking, we hate it. We do. I did. And still ain't too excited about it. I'm not. But I know I've been empowered, and I know that I've been inspired. But every time I find something in there, I know that it was written to me. I know that it is to empower me. And some of the things that it's asking me to do, I don't like it one cotton-picking bit. So don't come here this week expecting that we're going to pull your joy string and you're going to get float out of here on some cloud 13 and you're going to woohoo all the way back home and just save your whole community with the wonderful knowledge that you got here this week. You'll drag out of here at the end of the week beat to death. You'll say, God, what did I come here for? But it'll be so good that you want to come back for another beating. And another one. And another. After a while, you get to like the whooping. Amen. You begin to enjoy the suffering that's required to enter into the reality of God. Most people spend their whole life trying to avoid suffering. It is something that's inevitable. But when you realize that it is in the suffering, living the words of the Lord Jesus, that we are inspired and empowered and we are transformed into the image of God. Folks, that transforms me. It does not transform you. As I read the scripture and I obey, it'll transform me. Now, as my light shines, people will gather to listen to my light. They'll come from everywhere. Amen. And but you're going to have to be inspired, and you're going to have to be empowered, And you'll have to make your commitment to listen and obey. I can't listen for you and I can't obey for you. I can only do that for me. In other words, folks, these scriptures save me. I can't save anybody. All I can do is speak of my salvation, my inspiration, my empowerment. All I can do is speak of my being transformed and make it so wonderful that other people would like to get in on it. Amen. That's what you're here for. Now, please don't make this mistake. A lot of you that have come this week, after this first session, you're going to say, "Oh, God, I wish my husband was here. He needs to hear this." No, your husband doesn't need to be here. You need to hear it. Don't start putting it off on somebody else. We love to do that. "Oh, if my children were just here." No, you take this back and live it with them. "If my grandmother was just here." No, you go back and be inspired around her and let her beat on you for a while. After a while, she'll get tired of beating and start loving you. Amen. Y'all excited about that too, aren't you? This week, the scriptures are to transform you. The Word of God is to transform you. We have to listen and
obey.
Real excited. I mean, woohoo, we're going to obey. We're going to get all excited and tell everybody that I am going to what?
Obey.
Yeah. You're still excited, aren't you? If you were watching the basketball game this afternoon and just watched Duke get beat by Virginia, them people went crazy. And here we are. God's going to speak to us today, and we're going to listen and get a little bit better. We're going to get so excited that we're going to tell everybody that we're here too. Now the next paragraph. It's on page 54. If you should have this little book, it's on page 6 and page 54. Now, this right in here, good stuff, but it don't mean a whole lot. It really, what it does is doing what I'm doing now. It tries to explain listening and obeying. This next paragraph says this: "As I begin to read the scriptures, I must take the approach that what I am reading is written to me." It's written to me. I must listen and obey. It will transform me. It will empower me. It will bring me into a life of God as I listen and obey. Now, for all of you wonderful people that have been sitting in church all of your life, and you've heard the scriptures read over and over and over and over and over again for years and years and years, and nothing ever really happened in your life, it's because you didn't obey. I was never told that I had to obey. I just had to listen. I didn't know there was another part to it. The scriptures, God had the scriptures revealed for me. Do you know that when God made this universe, He had me in mind when He made it? Do you know that there's nobody else on earth like me? Do you know that I'm a unique, original masterpiece built out of a hunk of nothing, clay? And God knew me before the foundation of the world was ever put together. And He did all of this for me so that in my free will, I could ascend my will to God in faith and listen to His words and obey His words and be transformed to think and act like God my Father. That don't get you a little excited? sound like Catholics out here. It's amazing. I'm going to tell you what, folks. But by the end of the week, you should be getting just a little excited. If the words of God doesn't get in here and get you excited, there's nothing on this earth that can excite you. Nothing. You will try and go from one excitement to the next, and in between be totally disappointed. But when you get this excitement inside, there'll be many trials and tribulations in your life, but nothing can take away the excitement. Amen? This can't take it away. There's a hidden joy inside when you listen and obey and know that the Scriptures were written to me. Listen to this. As I begin to read the Scriptures like that, I went back to Genesis and I said, oh, here is the beginning of my life. I was formed. I was pulled out of the clay. God breathed into me and I came alive. And all of a sudden, I read in the third chapter where I entered into sin and death by no fault of my own. I became fearful. I realized I was naked. I knew the difference between good and evil. I became as a god. I wanted to protect myself. I wanted to be independent. All of the things that come with original sin, the sin that none of us asked for, but we all got. Written to me. My life is an example of Genesis. Do you know that I had a beginning to my life? The word Genesis means beginning. I've got a beginning and there's an end. I don't know too much about the end, but I do know a little bit about the beginning. I'm in a wonderful parade that has a beginning and an end, and I'm somewhere in the middle struggling along trying to listen and obey. I don't know too much about the end, but I do know something about the beginning. I know something about me because the Scriptures reveal to me my nature. I can identify myself. Oh, this is my problem. As we begin our reading of Scripture, we should take the approach that what I'm reading is written to
me.
Still excited. That's wonderful. Glory to God. Listen to this. What I'm reading is written about me. My dear wonderful, let me find my briefcase. Gosh, this is good. I want to show you folks the story of my life. The story of my life. And we don't know nothing about our lives. That's the reason we're confused, we're bewildered, we're fearful, we're anxious, we're overwhelmed. Because we don't really know who we are. The greatest problem today in the church is we really don't know what we believe because we've not listened and obeyed. We really don't know who we are because we've not read the Word. And we really don't know how to live because we've not listened to the commandments of God as something that are real for today. We've not been instructed to the point that we would believe that God is true and everything else is a lie. So what you're going to get this week is an examination of your conscience. We're going to examine you right on through. From here, I mean right on down. To the bottom of your feet. And then we're going to come up and we're going to do it again. And about the third or fourth day, you're going to say, my God, I'm a mess. My church is sick. It has no power at all. And I'm just struggling along on flesh power. There's no real spiritual power in me at all. And folks, I discovered that about me today. As long as I've been working in this and knowing this, I discovered today that I was struggling along on my old fleshy power. The Spirit had absolutely abandoned me. You know why? Because I forgot to obey. This is something that I've got to do every day. It's not something that I can turn off and turn on. It's not something that I can do 45 minutes on Sunday. It's something I've got to do 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It's something I have to do. Don't turn this on and off. But boy, I try. And I get caught. Holy Spirit is a holy hound. God, He won't leave you alone. Beat on you. Talks. Hush. I'm going to take a break. I've had enough. I don't want to do that no more. Let me fight a while. Amen. At least what we will do is open up the scriptures to where you know that you're in a fight and you're going to win because God loves you. The Holy Spirit's been given us and we're victorious. Just takes a little while, you know, struggling, struggle here, a little struggle there, you know. And Holy Spirit is to point out our sinfulness. We were involved in this not long ago here, and how many of you have met David Stewart? Well, David will get right in your face. I mean, not literally, but he will get in your face with words, and he will challenge you right down to the bone. And he was in this area of that we're all liars. Scripture says that we're all liars. And this one lady said, "Well, I'm not a liar. I'm a prayer group leader." And David said, "Well, beleaguer the point, but you're the first one I ever met that wasn't a liar." So praise God, we got one that doesn't lie. And he went on, and it was time to break for lunch, and they all broke, and David was standing in the lunch line, and this lady came up and said, "David, would you please forgive me? I told my husband a lie to come over here. I told him I was going somewhere else because I didn't want him to know where I was going." So you see, most of us, most every one of us in here has exaggerated or lied today. And what you're going to discover, if you can handle it, some people will look at this and they just can't handle it. What you're going to look at this week is you're going to look at your nature. We're going to let the Holy Spirit examine you. If you will allow yourself to be examined. I'm not the examiner. I stay busy with myself examining me. And it's a full-time job. I am so busy examining me, I don't have time to look at you. Because the minute I start looking at you, I get right off base. I mean, I'm right out there flip-flopping in the breeze. But you know, it's so much easier to look at you and see your mess. Boy, is he a mess. We won't look at our hearts. You open up your heart and it stinks so bad, and the worms will be so big, it'll frighten you. God, I remember when Father Smith started taking me through this 18 years ago, here was my thought. After he had just told me that I was a church, that I was a temple of the Holy Spirit, you know what my next thought was? God, my church is in a mess. And if you don't know your church is in a mess, you don't need a Savior. If you don't know that your church is sick, you don't need a doctor. If you don't know that your mind is insane, then you don't need the sanity of God. And so the Word of God is designed to examine us. It's designed to empower us. It's designed to heal us. It's designed to deliver us. That's what the Word of God was given for. This is the reason we have the tradition of the church, the sacred scripture, tradition, the magisterium, the teaching part of our church, is so that every generation will have an opportunity to know who they are. Most of us have spent a whole lifetime working to be somebody. You've worked. I was educated at Harvard. Folks, that will not get you a cold glass of water in hell. I can tell you that. Or you can say, well, now, I work for IBM, big smoking deal.